welcome back to the podcast. Thanks for
hanging with us.
Another chilling evening. In the garage with us and drinking a beer. And
that's what I forgot was a beer.
You didn't bring a beer?
I know. Dang it. Maybe we'll have to pause the podcast right now so I can go over to the 10 feet
you
over
you might need to walk over there.
Okay.
Just put your headset down. Put the headset down.
Pardon the noise.
As Dave's going to that's like the number one rule to podcasting, isn't it? You have to have something in your hand?
Probably.
I mean, that's just a fail, Dave. Well, for those of you who are tuning in, we're kind of the end of our season here in Alaska. We are, we've kind of, everything's winding down. Moose season's done. Caribou season's done. The main hunting is kind of over. Although, I will say, right now is the waterfowl season in Alaska. It's starting to get cold up north. The ducks are pushing in. It's cold, but, man, they're moving. The water hasn't froze over yet, and they're coming down. Somebody put something up there of a two-man limit in an hour and a half.
Nice.
Like, it is...
It's on, like, Donkey Kong.
Dude.
Out there.
Like,
yeah.
I kind of wish we were going out tomorrow morning, but...
There's this dirty four-letter word that I have to do tomorrow. Please.
I know.
You know I'm going to be sitting there at my desk.
And I'm just going to be texting you pictures of ducks and...
Moose. Bears. And
yeah. While I'm sitting there, doing whatever honeydew list I have to do.
The nice thing is I know you're not going to bug me before about 9 a.m. because I start at 7. So.
Oh, yeah. You're going to get a good, nice, long break.
Yeah.
You might even get a 10 o'clock by the time I get rolled up and get the kid fed and...
All that kind of good stuff.
Do all that kind of stuff. I'm like, I should probably throw Dave a little troll.
A little love note.
So, Dave, what was, as we're looking back over the season, what were your highlights? What were the things that you loved this season? And you're just like, man, that was just I really enjoyed how we did that. Or
probably three distinct pieces come out in my mind.
Yeah.
When you say that. And I'll kind of go in order in terms of the time frame. When I say time frame, I'm talking about starting the start of the season.
Yeah.
Our bear season, bear baiting and running with dogs. You don't run with dogs up here. It's just not done. But,
no. I don't think it's legal to run with dogs up here.
It is to track game.
Track, but not run bears.
Yeah. In the state of Oregon, where I was growing up in 92, they passed a law that said no more running dogs. Or no more running cougars or bears with dogs and no more bear baiting.
Yes.
So all but eliminated cougar hunting and bear hunting in the state of Oregon. Oregon's real wooded. Just no real good way to get out there and do it. It was a death of an industry.
Yeah.
Just never grew up doing it. So bear baiting, just learning that process in terms of, setting a stand up. I mean, we never did tree stands.
Mm.
We were always, spot and stalk for the deer and for the elk. Trying to put a move on them.
Yep.
So that was fun. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Even though it wasn't as successful as we wanted it to be, and we had a lot of frustration with it between moving the stand and things like that. God bless Onyx. Did save us a ticket, although.
Yeah. A hefty little fine we did not get from
because
that
we moved.
Wonderful website.
Yeah.
thank you, Onyx.
Yes. But, we were able to set up a stand. We, at first, were not very successful at all.
Mm.
And I do believe that's because we are in a weird year this year. We had the earthquake last winter.
Yeah,
it was dry, and then we had break up early, and then it snowed again. It was just weird, and we were really hot this summer.
Yeah.
So with all of that, I mean, just learning that process a little bit, we finally got some bears. That was exciting when we came in that last time. We actually came in the last day of the season to see empty barrels, and that squirt gun that we used for moving the oil around. We had this idea. I was in Costco, and I was like, we got to get oil out and get some scent. And so I'm sitting there, and I ran into super soakers that you could just, fill up. And, it was just, a manual, like a pump action kind of thing.
And pump and squirt.
Pump and squirt. And so that sounds bad. Verbiage. but, it's literally one of those where you, pump it, and it squirts the whatever's inside out. Let's keep it clean here, young man. Keep it clean. we filled it with oil. And
years in the firehouse has not helped me at all.
Or the trauma bay. I'm with you. Or the service. but it was really cool because we could put the oil in there, and then we could spray that oil up 15, 20 feet in the air, up on top of the trees.
I really did like that.
But when we came in, and that you could clearly see that something had ate the squirt gun.
It just chewed the crap out of it.
I was like,
did you save that?
I think I did, and then it ended up getting pitched. You know, I have the spare, the other, because it came as a 2-pack.
Yeah, so I know, but we need to have that. I wanted to like put that on a.
Oh, don't worry.
A mounted.
Hold on, because this year, you know what I'm going to do?
Put another one out there.
I'm going to ditch it just like we ditched this one.
Just
this
so we can get it chewed up. Oh, jeez.
Some people's children, man.
As long as we don't get any issues for, you know,
littering
in our... Because I believe the bear baiting regulations say nothing, everything has to be edible on the stand. You can't bait with non-edible stuff. Yeah, a trooper that is a little, you know, if he's had a bad day, he may consider that putting something out there that is non-edible. Something we have to think about as we go into next year.
This is true.
We may need to bring that out. That's like, it didn't hit me until we walked in there. And now that we, you know, thinking about back over it, like right. I saw that thing laying there. I'm like, well, that looks like trash. Ooh.
Yeah. And not that we want to trash the woods. That was never our intent.
No. And everything came out. It's not like we, you know, pulled this thing and left it sitting out there. Yeah. But
no, it came
you know,
out.
It was non-edible something that the bear ate. And a trooper, if he saw that, may have written a ticket for it.
True.
If he was in a non.
Yeah. Maybe if we tied it to a string on the tree, but anyways, it's kind of like the idea of leaving it out there, because I think it's just greasy, nasty.
I think we just get a bag.
Yeah, bag it and bring
put
it out.
Put in a bag, some gloves, and just...
Yeah, but that was a lot of fun. You know, we were able to, you know, get on the ATVs every day, and well, not every day, but every weekend, and just
get out in the woods.
Get out in the woods. There's a lot of good times out there. We went out, we checked out other guys' stands. Not like actually on their stand, but like just kind of the general area. Like,
see where they're at.
Oh, there's a trail over there. We know there's some guys back in there.
Yep. Talk some dudes, got some good information.
Just chatting folks up.
Yep.
The next kind of big one for me was we went out for 2 weekends in a row. Dip netting, 4-day weekends, just kind of what we had off at work.
Yep.
And just one was just my family, so it's just the 6 of us, you know, my parents and my wife and my kids, and we went out and we just dip netted just by ourselves, had a lot of fun. And then the following week we came back for 4 days, and we were with our church. And
yeah.
So that was kind of cool, because it was fish camp with, you know, 100 other people that are all like-minded. You know, it's kind of funny when I think about it. People go, oh, the bears, you know, you got to watch out for the bears. And yeah, you do. I'm not trying to downplay them. But I literally, I literally camped with 100 other people with probably, I'm going to say there must have been 1,000 fish in there.
You know what I mean? Everyone throws this, the bears. It's Alaska. We're all for bears. Have a gentleman we know who actually was attacked by a bear in one of the highest, at the time, the highest concentration of brown bears in the state of Alaska. By the grace of God, he walked out of there.
Yeah.
He almost didn't make it that day. Not even almost didn't make it. I mean, even if he made it, he walked out and he had all his limbs intact, which was very, like,
luckiest people, you know, to have a bear attack.
Oh, my gosh, yeah. So, talking to him, and they opened that up the next, you know, when that bear attack happened, the troopers didn't go in looking for the specific bear. Because a lot of times, you know, they'll go in, find the bear that attack the person, because that can change the mentality of a bear. They didn't do that. They just opened the whole area up for take as many brown bears as you can. And they dropped the number of bears in that area. And talking to him, he says, it changed the power dynamic in the area. Before that happened, he said, the bears didn't care. They knew they owned the area.
Right.
If you were in their yard, you would, you know, they would blazingly walk right up towards you. Like, I'm coming in. Get out of my way. It's like after they opened that up, that changed. Bears will stay out of your way.
Yeah. And
so when you're talking about bears in Alaska, yeah, there are some places like that, and they're few and far between. There are some spots that are just like
hot spots,
and they're just, that is a very high concentration, and these bears own that area. Yeah, you got to be careful there. But you also have to know where you're going. Overall, in the state of Alaska, if you're just generally out in an area, bears are not going to just like, oh, there's people, I'm going to go eat them.
Right. My bigger thing is fish camp. I mean, like, you know, we're sitting here camping in a tent camp.
Yeah.
And,
but,
I mean,
yeah,
but
there's fish.
50 fish sitting right next to me.
Yeah, but here's the thing is, you know, I look at that as there's 50 fish sitting right next to you, and there's how many hundreds of them in the river?
Right.
I've been sitting on a river fishing for hours and hours, not catching a dang thing. I watch a bear come down the riverbank, jump into the river, and jump right out less than like 3 seconds later with a fish in his mouth.
Right.
Like these things know how to fish.
They're not dumb.
So, okay, do I go into an area where there's like 100 of these crazy looking things that I know are not good for me?
Right, true.
Yeah, there's food there, but, or do I just go over to this river that's, you know, less than, you know, 200, right. 300 yards away, and I get all the fish I want.
Right. But right? Yeah, I'm with you. But, you know, dip netting was a lot of fun. You know, back to kind of what you're asking about, like kind of the three, four big kind of things we did. The dip netting was just a ton of fun. It was a good time with friends and family and just kind of hanging out.
Absolutely,
and, you know, fish camp is not like what you see on TV, at least for us. You know, like on TV, like when you watch those Alaska shows where they go out and they're doing a fish wheel or they're doing, you know, out some remote cabin, you know, in the middle of the Yukon.
Okay, so first of all, you threw the magic word of out there on TV.
Right, yeah. But
it's not Alaska.
Well, agreed. But you know what I'm saying? When people, when they're thinking about, you know, like, what is dip netting? It's just Google it on YouTube, like Kenai Dip River, or Kenai River Dip Netting, and you'll go, oh, that's...
Oh, dude, yeah, when you got, like, 15 RVs sitting there and...
On the beach.
Like, yeah, it's just different. It's a whole different experience.
Yeah, but it's just a lot of fun, a lot of people hanging out, drinking some beers, swapping food and recipes, and just fishing, and guys are getting up all hours of the day and night. So some guys go, I'm going to go to the morning tide at 4 a.m. Other guys like, no, I'm going to sleep in and drink more beer that night, and I'll hit the afternoon tide. Yep. And
you know, I didn't get to go this year just because I had, you know, that four-letter word again.
Dirty four-letter word.
Reared his ugly head, but looking forward to next year. Oh, man, am I.
Well, we got one of the guys in the church that wants to do set netting. And so there's some differences there. We'll have to talk about that as we get closer to that.
Yeah, I'm excited about that one.
I think that could be a lot of fun.
Like trying something a little different.
But Chad wants to do like a guy's trip. So like just like get the men, us fisher hunter types and, you know, go for a couple weekends and just setting up and drink beer and like smoke cigars.
But, for me, for, you know, fish camp, when you're thinking about that, my favorite memory is we had, I think 20 people sitting around a big old campfire. You know, fire going, it's like, you know, midnight. Kids are all sound asleep. We hoped. We were really checking, drinking some beer, you know, smoking a cigar and just, you know, playing music and laughing. And then somebody busted out the fish fryer. And we had fresh, like that day caught salmon and halibut, beer battered up. Mm. Like it does not get much better than that.
Oh, good times right there. Yep. Kind of my next, so I think through the year, then after that, you and I were kind of, we're in that lull time because we don't really go sheep hunting. We're just neither one of us are in good enough shape. And, you know, I don't know that we really have the motivation to go after them yet.
Yeah.
That's a whole different thought and ball of wax. We didn't have, caribou tags this year.
Yep.
So we kind of did some fishing like Montana Creek and just kind of really hit that Montana Creek quite a few times. So we had a lot of fun doing that. Just, you know, two of us and the families and just life group was out there and we went to Talkeetna trip and just had fun.
Yeah.
You know, and then after that, kind of the last one here was went out on my first duck hunt this year, which is unique because I've never done that. My dad just never was into duck hunting. He did some pheasant hunting as a kid, but he had dogs.
Totally different.
But my point is he just was never a bird guy really growing up.
Yeah.
And so we went out and... That was a comical error that we made, but
You know.
But I need to do some more shooting. I'll just leave it at that.
Get some clays.
It's clay time. Yeah.
Oh boy.
Yeah.
Nothing will humble you like watching a duck fly away after you blast three shells at it.
I think there was a total of that last one was 8 out of 9 shells went off. and the bird flew away.
It was bad.
Yeah, it was bad. Yeah, but it was still fun. We still had a little blast right here locally. And then moose hunting with my dad. That's always just good times to be out in the woods with dad, you know.
Yeah.
Little things that humble you and do whatnot, breaking winch cables and
moose. It's amazing how Alaska will just take every little thing you think you have squared away and ready to go, and it just says nope.
And it's just, it's amazing to me the just the vast diversity that you can see. We went from the spring to now snow flying. So snow in to snow fly in a matter of 6 months. And it's just been, it's been incredible. It's been a whirlwind. Cause I mean, it's just, I mean, I get less sleep during the summer. I guarantee you this winter.
Oh, yeah.
I'll be sleeping in a lot more. It's just the way it works. I mean, let me look on the phone for today. Because we happen to be recording today. It's when we're recording this, it's the 11th of October.
Yeah.
With our first snow here in Eagle River. And come on, machine. I'm going to look and tell you what the exact sunrise and sunsets are. So sunrise is 8:30 this morning.
Yep.
It's set at 7 p.m.
Yeah.
And it's only going to, you know, come the middle of winter, it's 10:04.
Yeah.
So just like,
now that one always bugs me. Like, and that just growing up in Alaska, That's one of those things that everyone's like, oh, it's dark at 4. No, it's not dark at 4. Sun sets at 4.
Right.
Like, it's, yeah. That always bugged me. Everyone's like, oh, it's so dark. It's dark at 4. No.
It's dark at 5.
Yeah, like, it's pitch black at 5:30.
As you say, you know, the funny part is, so I grew up in Portland, outside the Portland, Oregon area, and we would have the light that came up, you know, 8-ish in the morning, you know, because we were lower, so it's kind of more traditional sunrise, and you got more light directly on you, versus here we have a real long twilight period.
Yeah.
And a real long, like, that kind of, like, pre-dawn, and, like, you know, that kind of air. But it was dark at 5:30. And up here, it's the same kind of thing.
Yeah.
The snow load, if you get a good snow,
you have light.
It's so bright. It just
brightens everything up. The big thing is the mornings. Mm-hmm. Like, that's the killer. And that's the one where I think people have the biggest issue is, like, okay, you get up in the morning, it's dark. You go to work. It's dark. And then you get out of work, and it's dark.
Yeah, I mean.
You know, the people that get out of work at 5:30, it's starting to get, it's dark. And you feel like you spend the whole day not seeing sun. You know, my wife did that for 7 months. She worked in the back corner of this little, like, it was a strip mall building, and they had the company in there, and no windows in this little room they were working in, just doing computer work, just doing, you know, I think this coding and billing.
This isn't a workspace. This is hell with fluorescent lighting.
And she was just, gosh, it was so depressing, and so just drug her down. Because she's like, I don't think I saw the sun other than on Saturdays and Sundays.
Right, that whole winter.
The whole winter.
But you go from that to the summers, and the summer's just amazing. I mean, you go to bed, and it's broad daylight out. You wake up, it's broad daylight out.
Oh, yeah. I remember playing, you know, football at 1 a.m. when I was a kid.
I mean,
and then you're like, oh, we need to go to bed.
I mean, we'll remember that one time we were out, we were sitting around the fire before we got shut down on fires. Remember that in the spring? Beautiful evening, 50 degrees.
Yep.
We were just BSing, having a couple of beers.
Right.
And we the girls were playing bingo.
Yep.
And I remember we both looked down and went, oh, it's 10:30. We got to get the kids to bed. So, I mean, that's a real thing up here. I mean, to come the summertime, it's go time. I mean, summers are fun-filled. They're packed with action. But I really enjoy them. I mean, the moose season this year didn't turn out the way we wanted it to. We ended up with a roadkill moose, which is good because that's meat in the freezer.
Speaking of that, I still have that thing. I got a good probably 4 vertebrae chunk of backbone sitting in the crock pot right now of that sucker. And it's just low heat. And it's been going for time
hours.
Is it? Oh, yeah. We're probably pushing 12 hours right now. Just
goodness.
Mm. Yeah.
But, yeah, when I think about, you know, like what it is, I mean, success-wise, you know, we didn't get a moose, didn't get a caribou, but we had a lot of fun fishing. We had a lot of fun chasing bears, chasing moose.
Yeah.
And that's just kind of where it's at. I mean, that's kind of like when I recapsulate the summer, that's kind of, it was hot, it was dry this year.
It was
hot. It was smoky.
Yep.
I mean, here in Anchorage, it was smoky. I mean, you smelled like you were at a barbecue the whole summer.
You know.
But it was good and it was bad all at the same time, because when you deal in a hospital like I do,
you get a lot of respiratory issues. But I know we talked earlier, I think we were texting back and forth today about, like, you know, smells of, you know, that smell, that campfire is one of those things that I just love.
Mm-hmm.
And I love going to bed to the smell of a campfire. And that was all summer long. Every time you crawl in bed, campfire. And just,
I finally got a burn pit in my backyard.
Mm-hmm.
They shut me down.
You can't burn. Yeah. That was a frustrating one. Like, I just want to sit next to a campfire, have a beer, and
if it wasn't for the fact that it was like, that it's like 35 outside, right outside the garage doors, half snow, half rain.
Oh, we'd have garage, one. Yeah.
We'd be out back right by my fire pit.
Yeah.
Which is an old dryer drum. Yep. Long story. That was this summer, too.
That's
Alaskan ingenuity. But, yeah.
So 49th state redneck right there.
My dad likes to call us frozen rednecks, but anyways.
I love it. Oh, man. So, I think, you know, when I think about this past summer, and
I didn't even talk about Ship Creek all the times we went out just having fun.
Oh, yeah.
Just trying to get away, the two of us, just because we were both crushing our jobs. And,
yep.
You know, just trying to take an evening and
get outside.
Yeah, outside. Yep. I mean, anyways, what's your thoughts on it?
Man, when I think about this summer, granted, I had, you know, less opportunity to get out with the work schedule.
Right. That kind of hosed you this year.
That kind of hosed me this year. And, you know, changing into a new job, not having any PTO, not having any time off, and just being like, I could have taken time to go do things, but there's that whole thing of like, well, yeah, if I could go do this, I could go out and have fun, and your paycheck, it just dies. Like, well,
then the wife gets upset.
I kind of need to do the responsible thing where I can actually pay the bills. Adulting is not, kids, Adulting sucks.
Don't grow up.
Don't grow up.
Don't ever leave your mom and dad's house.
Well, maybe. Everyone but my kid. She can grow up in.
Yeah, my kids can leave. Yeah.
You know, I'm a fly fisherman. I know we've talked about that. That is just my thing. There's something about seeing that line just fold out across the water and just lay in there. For me, the first thing that I think about was going to Montana Creek.
Well, you finally got your chum, too.
Finally got my chum.
The hilarious part about that, which I'm just going to disclose your full glory, is you fought for that first chum. Like in the mouth, not like, just like you wanted to, like, legitimately, like, not just, I might have snagged it, or I might have got it in the wrong spot. Like, in the mouth, like.
True catch.
And you fought, we must have gone 3 or 4 times before you finally got one.
Yeah.
And my son even caught one.
Yeah.
He was 6.
Yeah.
It was funny because, but again, sometimes luck happens, and his was total luck.
His was luck. He was also, what pound test do you have on that son sucker?
Oh, I had like 30 pound test.
Yeah, that thing is like a cable pulling that thing in with a big old net, well, not snagging hook, but a big old treble hook on there. And
right, yeah.
But that thing wasn't going anywhere versus my
fly rod.
Fly rod. And
right. But you did get it. Which is amazing. You did a good job. It was
finally landed that
right where you wanted it in the mouth.
Yeah, And those things, man. There's nothing quite like hooking into that chum and seeing that thing take off upriver and breaching as it goes up the river, and just hearing that your fly line just going out.
I always love the people from the lower 48 that were, because there are usually at least one or two groups on the Montana Creek that are from the lower 48.
Yep.
What did you get, dude?
As you just, get out of my way, I'm coming through.
Coming through. Coming in hot.
I love the fishing. I love hunting, don't get me wrong.
Right.
But I relax fishing. I relax standing on the side of a river, just hearing that river running through.
A little trickle. And
yep, smelling that
water.
Water and trees. Honestly, smelling the fish.
Right, oh yeah.
You
know,
like you get that little fishy smell and. But that just, it all adds to it. And just like, that's the first thing that jumps out of my mind. Like, the close second was going out on the boat with Dan, going out in Prince William.
Oh, yeah. I was jealous of that trip. Oh, when I saw those pictures, I was like, I tried to text you. You said you were going out, and I was like, tried to text you and couldn't get a hold of you. Like,
yeah.
Where the hell is this guy at? Go. And then all of a sudden, it posts on Facebook because you didn't even bother telling me. You just, I'm just going to let this one slide. And
that one was like, I got the text from Dan. I think we were going to go out and do something.
Yeah,
bear baiting. We were going to go out and check the bear stand or something.
We're going to go check the stand. We're talking about things. I said, I had to work. This was a Saturday, and I had to work that Saturday.
Okay.
That's what the deal was. I said, I'm working. So
yeah.
Yeah. I'm busy, dude.
So I had some other thing like, I got, a weekend off. We're not getting out, have to go out and check the stand and do our thing. And, had some, family thing planned, and I get a text from a buddy, and he's like, hey, what are you doing tomorrow? Oh, why? I never reply with what I'm doing. It's always why, because man, plans can change quick, and that's exactly what
happened. Trying to tell me.
Exactly. He's like, I'm going out on the boat. I'd love to take you. Absolutely. So he took me and my family out, and we went out.
Yeah, you had to ride away.
We were almost to Montague Island, which is
70. It's a 70-mile trip to Montague.
We were
far
side
of Montague.
We were at 50 miles. But 50 miles out on a boat.
The part he doesn't tell you about this is he also did something else while he was out there.
Well, there's a lot that could be thrown into that.
Well, yeah, your daughter was there, so it wasn't anything like that. Come on now. Yeah. you did a little shrimping while you're out there too.
Oh yeah, so we got out there, and if you're gonna go to Prince William Sound
as an Alaskan resident,
you're gonna throw a shrimp pot. Like, I mean, it's just if you you're don't, low. You're missing out. Hit with something,
unless you're allergic. You know what I mean? Like you have like a shellfish allergy.
But I mean,
but like if you're like you or me, where you don't,
yeah. So we cruised out, and we got down there at like 7 a.m. Got on the boat in the water by 8, and it was like a 40-minute drive out to
the grounds.
Yeah, the shrimping grounds. When we pull in there, now Whittier, Alaska is a very unique spot. You know, it's for the longest time you could not drive to Whittier, Alaska. As I grew up, when I was growing up and we went to Whittier, you couldn't drive there. You drive down to basically Girdwood, right outside of Girdwood, mm-hmm. Portage Valley, and you go to a train depot. And if you're going to get your car into Whittier, you drove your car onto the train, onto the little, you know, flat cars. They locked you down, and they drove you through this giant tunnel.
Two and a half miles, I think.
Yeah, tunnel that the Army Corps of Engineers cut through in World War One.
No, two.
Two. Thank you. Wrong war.
Same general idea.
Yeah. So yes, exactly. And then to essentially feed a military hospital that they put in there, a barracks and hospital, because it's one of the few deep water ports in Alaska, true deep water ports.
Whittier was opened in, the tunnel was opened in 1943. I'm Googling this.
Oh, there you go. Yep, 1943.
Yeah.
Two and a half miles. Yep, 2.5 miles to sustain the hospital.
Longest highway tunnel in North America.
Yep. So we pull through. So, and Whittier is just a amazing little city. Like, everyone lives in
one built. Well,
there's two places. There's a little row of, like, they're like apartments, right, essentially. Like, they call them condos, but they're apartments. They're about the size of an apartment. So you can live in the condos or you live in the tower. And it's a military style barracks that they've converted into residential living. And in that tower, you have a grocery store.
Mm-hmm.
You have
the school
and the clinic. Are all in the one tower with where people live.
I think there's like 200 or 300 people.
Somewhere in there.
Maybe 350 of like year-round residents of that town. A lot of cruise ships come in and out of there.
Oh, yeah. So it's busy in the summertime. A lot of fishing in the summertime. I
mean, we went out of Prince William Sound 2 years ago on our boat.
Mm-hmm.
And it's beautiful glass water, salt air-ish.
It can be.
Well, I mean, you know.
Yeah, when you get out on
the right day.
So we pull through, and now Whittier, as a guy who worked in the fire department in that area, not in Whittier, but in a close town, the saying was, the weather's always, well, shittier in Whittier. Like, and it's almost always true. Like, you drive through that tunnel, and it can be beautiful on one side, you get to the other side, and it's just like dumping rain sideways, and you're like, what just happened? So I always plan when I'm going to Whittier for that exact saying. Like, it's going to be bad. But we pulled through, and it was raining, but it was socked in. It was just foggy. We're like, oh, okay, well, see how this goes. And I get the boat in the water, get launched, got to a little spot where we saw a whole bunch of sea lions, and just amazing. And got out to the shrimping grounds, dropped our pots, and, you know, kind of fiddled with that and got the right depth and got everything squared away. And then we took off, and we started hauling towards the fishing grounds. And it was really weird because, like, you didn't see anything but water and fog.
Mm.
There's just nothing, which was super weird for Prince William Sound because, I mean, if you've ever seen anything of Prince William Sound, you know that that's just. Mm. So we get out. We're probably about 40 miles out, and all of a sudden the clouds lift, and all you see is just beautiful blue sky and mountains just rising out of the water.
It's just amazing out there.
Oh, man. I mean, we're talking like 3,000-foot mountains with snow-capped tops, and just beautiful. You had puffins flying by, saw whales breaching out there, just absolutely phenomenal.
And now you're forced to go halibut fishing.
I know, and then you get out there, and you're just sitting in this, just what God has built for us, and you're just like, you can't help but sit there going, wow, he built this for me. Like, he designed this and made this to just so I can look at this and go, yeah, I get it, dude. Get it, God.
He's an artist.
He really is. Right? So drop our lines and sit there and pull in a 60-pound halibut. This thing is just, oh.
That was good eating halibut, too.
Not the biggest halibut out there that has ever been caught, but I would argue about perfect.
Yeah, I mean, anything more than about 100 pounds, they start to get mealy and nasty.
Yeah, anyways. They just get a little old.
But, you know, somewhere between the chicken, the 25, 30-pounder, and about 75 pounds, and you were right in the middle of that butter zone,
mm-hmm.
I mean, they're just perfect eating fish.
Oh, my gosh.
So, yeah, you drug that thing home.
Big old. And then, got done. The water got a little choppy. And, you know, my wife and kid were kind of
done.
They'd never been on the water before. That's the first time they've ever been out in there. Mm. Well, my wife has done, like, lakes and stuff, but never big water like that. And she was just kind of, all right, I think we're ready to go. So, turned back in and pulled up shrimp pots. And I think we came in with 4 gallons of shrimp. Alaska Puget Sound shrimp.
Prince William Sound. Puget Sound, Seattle.
Did I say Puget?
Yeah, you did.
Dang it. Prince William Sound. PSW.
The PWS, Prince William.
I know. Just it,
yeah, yeah. We all do it, too. It's hilarious.
So, yeah, and I have so much family in the Puget Sound area. So, right. Like, I'm so used to, like,
that's where my brother lives. You know,
yeah, you just, you know, yeah. In the Puget area. Prince William. So, we get beautiful. I mean,
size of a man's hand.
Yeah, these things are literally the size of a man's hand. So, by the time you clean them, you got something that's bigger than your thumb.
Right.
This thing is massive hunk of shrimp.
So the part he doesn't tell you about this story. So of course, we have life group, and it's like a Bible study kind of thing that we do with our church. We call them life groups. But anyways, I digress. So he says, let's do a fish fry with this halibut. Very generous man. So he says to me, I forget what I was going into the refrigerator to get.
I don't remember.
We needed something.
Yeah.
And in the refrigerator is gallons of
freezer. It was in the freezer.
No, it was in the refrigerator.
Oh, I was thawing one out?
No, you hadn't frozen them yet.
Oh, okay.
It was because this was like you had done it like that day. Fishing Saturday. And then I don't know if we had them that Sunday.
No, it was that Sunday.
It was that Sunday. Yeah. So yeah, you hadn't even had a chance to freeze them yet.
Yeah.
And I remember opening up the refrigerator and going, dude's holding out on me. First thing I come out to say, hey, so why are you holding out on me? And you looked at me and then you went, I mean, it was hilarious because it was one of those like momentary, like, what are you? Oh, yeah. It's just like, oh, yeah.
Uh-huh. Honestly, like, I love halibut, but man, you can get so much of it that I give you some halibut, no big deal. But I love me some shrimp.
Yeah.
That is just, But I was generous. I brought you some shrimp. We had
we had some outstanding.
Fettuccine,
and then we also had just shrimp.
Yeah.
But still, yeah, no, it's it was just hilarious, that look on your face of, yeah, I did, yeah.
I didn't even, like, pull that one. I'm like, yeah, I'm holding out. Yep,
yeah.
Absolutely.
I'm pulling a punch there, yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, those are one and two, I'd say. Man, just getting out. This summer was just one of those summers that you don't get very often in Alaska. Like, yeah, for me, I think if you're going to go out do anything in Alaska, you need to prepare to be wet and cold.
Yeah, because it can turn ugly pretty quick. And it was a very warm, dry summer.
Even if it's like, not even just a turn ugly, but as you're going through the woods,
you're going to get wet.
You're going to hit mud puddles. You're going to hit all these things that's just going to keep you, you know.
There's a reason why, what's those boots? Not Uggs. Those are the
extra tufts.
Extra tufts. The Alaskan extra tufts. There's a reason why that's a fashion statement.
The Southeast sneaker.
Yeah, that and the Salty Dog sweatshirt.
Yep.
Which you're wearing right now.
Which I am brandishing right now.
Such a tourist sometimes.
I pulled this from the Salty Dog, thank you very much. I did not order this or
anything else.
This was actually,
you know, when while we were dip netting, we took a day off, and my wife loves Homer. Mm-hmm. So while we were down there, she had to walk into the Salty Dog. There's a girl.
She went to the ladies. Okay, no, and she pulls that, like, I didn't go into the Salty Dog. I went to the place next to it. It's the same thing. I'm like, no, it's not the same thing. That's like a little tourist trap right next to the Salty Dog.
The advantage was it was closer, and she could grab the same sweatshirt.
Yeah.
But even my wife has a Salty Dog, and she loves her extra tufts. They get to roll with a little salmon print or octopus print.
I have a friend that calls it Alaska Basic Chick.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep. I don't own a Salty Dog sweatshirt. Mm-hmm. Obviously, if I'm giving Brandon crap by being a tourist, there's now I almost can't have one.
Yeah, now when I see you wearing one next year.
Well, okay, hold on. If it's given to me, that's a little different. Only because, yeah. You know, I'm cheap. You know how I am.
That is true. I'll give you that one.
And I don't wear.
If you buy one and say, oh, I got it from somebody at work, then I'm going to.
Oh, you got to bust my chops on that one. I'm with you. And then I always wear my, I don't wear extra tufts. I wear, what those rubber boots are. They're sitting right on top of the bandsaw.
Muck.
They're muck boots. Yeah. I got them from, Cabela's.
Yeah.
They're comfortable. There's better out there. But, again, I'm just trying to be a little different because. I just can't do the extra tufts. Although it's hilarious because it's raining outside right now.
Yeah.
And all these Alaskans are running around their extra tufts like they need them. It's like, no, you just need a set of sneakers. It's okay.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're out all day, it's a little different, but.
Yep, absolutely.
But anyways, what else about your summer?
Yeah. It was a summer where you didn't necessarily need to worry about being wet and cold.
Yeah, it was
like
warm.
Even when we were wandering through the woods looking for like new possible bear baiting sites.
We took our sweatshirts off, man.
And we weren't wet at all.
No.
Like, well, normally when you're cruising through the underbrush like that, through the woods, where you don't get a lot of light, you know, you get some wetness on your feet.
And your quads are wet, you know.
Yeah, you just get that little, you know, dampness all over the place. And
yeah.
Man, there was none of that. It was just.
But
it was
still enough water out there to hang a quad or two. Boy, did we hang in my quad.
Oh, we dumped those things, man. We just.
Don't tell Pat. We love you, Pat. We love you, brother.
Well, to be fair, I did not bury that machine.
We did use my machine as the first test. Machine through as the test. So it was not intentional for all
but,
of that.
But when your quad hits a mud puddle and then stops on the undercarriage and the wheels are still spinning freely, like, we buried that sucker. But yeah. I mean,
that does happen on a regular enough basis out here. It's just part of Alaska life.
Oh yeah. But part, I mean, just getting out and being able to enjoy that summer of just not having to worry about what's in the pack. You know, I still carried it. I didn't. I think I threw on my rain jacket once,
mm-hmm.
And even then, I probably could have been okay without it.
Yeah, I mean, it was never, and the rainstorms we did get weren't that bad.
Yeah.
I mean, which unfortunately led to a really bad fire year for us.
Absolutely, but like,
you know, but from a, like, hey, I'm doing my thing, and
yeah,
my perspective, it wasn't bad. If you're in the middle of fires, it sucked. But
yeah, for if you were affected by those fires, man, yeah just rough. But I really enjoyed being outside and getting to go out and do that stuff, so.
Yeah.
I don't know. I liked it.
Yeah.
It was great.
Yeah, so, but, you know, but on the same token, it's a taste. And as we wind down, I just kind of go, oh,
what's next?
What's next? And what's, you know, and I start thinking already ahead. I mean, I'm already thinking, okay, knowing a normal year, this year was abnormal because we could get out and put our stand up on the 15th of April.
Mm-hmm.
I'm thinking, okay, look, so we have Sportsman Show, which is usually like the first weekend of April. They have a local Sportsman Show.
Yep.
I didn't go this year because it was so nice and there was a breakup was already happening.
Yeah.
And normally it's not that way. Normally it's like you're just really getting antsy and you got to do something and do something with the kids. And so you go to the Sportsman Show with every other Anchorage person and
see the same things. And
yeah.
I don't like it because it's the same stuff.
Yeah.
And the things that I'm looking for, like, you know, you used to be able to go there and buy, there's people, gun vendors selling guns at good prices. And there are people that were, now it's turned into, oh, you want to do a trip,
right?
You want a guide, you want to go to a lodge. They're all there. And no guns sold.
No.
It's just not, it's turned into something completely different.
I do like walking through the Alaska fishing game piece. That's always fun.
Yeah, you know, getting an idea of that.
There is quality in it. Is it as much quality as other things I could be doing? No, but it's like that, like, first, like, finally, I know, like, summer, spring and breakup is
there.
Just right around the corner.
Yeah.
I'm kind of getting fired up, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But this year, it was so early that I was like, you know, it's a beautiful day outside and there's no snow on the ground. We're going to the park.
Yep.
I mean, the fish aren't in yet, but, you know, so it's like, and we couldn't put out any bear stuff yet.
Mm-hmm.
We were still talking about it, remember?
Yep.
It's the last minute. We were still talking about where we, you know, do we even want to do it? And I'm glad we did.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, as I think ahead, I'm already thinking forward April 15th. Like, how are we going to get our stuff out? At least, maybe not put up, but just cash it, you know?
A lot of opportunities for next spring. A lot of things to think about. I'm even closer than that. I'm thinking, man, here in the next couple weeks, you know, as we still have waterfowl season going until end of December, where can I go to shoot some ducks? Can we get out on the, you know, the salt somewhere and do some sea duck hunting?
Mm-hmm. There's still opportunities.
Yeah,
if you're willing to, you're willing to be a little cold, a little miserable, but there's, but you're on ducks and now you're not cold and you're not miserable anymore. It's funny how that works.
Right? Yeah, the couple that minutes of
beer.
It's good beer.
IPA with tangerine and pineapple.
Interesting.
It's from Stone. It's actually a San Diego beer, if I'm not mistaken.
Interesting.
I mean, I guess I can't say there you go. Escondido. And Richmond, Virginia. Made in the USA. We still make something.
Huh?
USA.
Good beer.
It's good beer.
That's what we make.
I would, I'd buy that again.
Hmm. Good to know. Had a Hefeweizen at Glacier Brewhouse the other day.
Glacier's always good for a good beer.
Bohemian Hefeweizen.
Oh, yeah. That's a good
one. Had some hints of banana and just some,
a good Hef will. But yeah, I mean, as I start thinking ahead, I mean, yeah, we have the spring coming up and that's kind of our big push, big season.
But there's so much in there. We have a hard water season coming up for ice fishing.
Well, and I think about things that I do traditionally during the winter when it's kind of nasty and wet and cold in the Pacific Northwest. That's usually when I went out and I would really hone my rifle in.
Mm.
I mean, it's
spend some time at the range.
I picked up that OT6 at auction.
Yeah.
That new OT6, it's a, it was made in 43, so it was a, you know, it's a sporterized version of the thing my grandfather took to war.
Mm-hmm.
Put a scope on it, finally got it all kind of just basic dialed in, and it's that Mauser action just feels great in my hands.
Solid. I love a Mauser action.
And I also have that 26 Gibbs,
mm-hmm.
which a lot of guys haven't heard about the Gibbs, but it's a hot load 30-06. You know, the guy necked it down, blew out the case, did a lot of things to it, but it just needs, you can only hand load for it, you know. So, mm-hmm.
So hand loading and... You know,
But on the same token, like, I think about it and I kind of go, I mean, we've got ice fishing, but I mean, I think about the evening. So, like, I can hand load in the evening. I don't necessarily have to. I mean, I can go to the range, you know, on a Sunday after church and blast some rounds off. But what do you do on a Saturday? Well, we go ice fishing. You know what I mean?
That's, you go at night.
Yeah.
You throw a little lantern up. And that's one thing that I think is, you know, Alaskans in the winter,
you have to be okay being in the dark.
Oh, yeah.
You have to be okay going out and doing something in the dark. Otherwise, you literally do nothing all year.
Well, and the headlamps are an amazing thing. I run with one all the time. I have one in my pocket.
Yeah.
And just kind of throw it on and away you go. But, I mean, as I think ahead, you know, it's kind of that look ahead in the next 6 months till breakup, mm-hmm. you know, till we start this madness again we call summer.
Yep.
I think ice fishing, definitely got to do some of that.
Have you ever been ice fishing?
I have not, actually. Mm. I get the concept. I get the idea behind it.
Yeah.
But I have never actually been. It's not cold enough in around the Portland metro area.
Yeah.
And even eastern Washington, it gets cold where lakes will freeze.
Yeah.
Like eastern Oregon, eastern Washington. But they don't get hard enough to where you can, like, drive a car on it. You know what I mean?
Yep.
But there's some things I want to do they didn't do last year. I was really nervous last year about doing ice fishing. Some guys had invited me out. I was a little bit nervous, I'll be quite honest with you, just because of the earthquake.
Like, yeah.
That just made me a little, because there's a lot of, so it's not just like, hey, we had the 7.2. I mean, yes, we did have the 7.2, but that was on the November the 30th. But we still had a 5.0 on, what do you call it, not Labor Day, but New Year's,
mm-hmm.
when I was out in the field with the church. I mean, it's like, you know, that was still rocking and rolling very easily through January and February. So I just didn't feel... You know, I didn't feel comfortable on the ice just this year alone.
Yeah.
Normally, I wouldn't have a problem with it. Like, I get it's totally safe, but it's just...
Yeah, it was a mind... It kind of screwed with a lot of people's minds. But I mean, you got to remember, when you're talking about ice, it floats.
Right, well, yeah.
So, and if you have 3-foot chunks of ice, even if you have, you know, big cracks across this
right.
thing, it's not like you're going to step on it, it's going to flip over.
Right. Like, it was not that I was worried about. Just the thermals are different. Like, out on Big Lake, they lost those snow machiners and the thermals.
The thermals have changed. Yeah, the people on Big Lake were... Those thermals didn't really change that much.
My understanding is they did. But, you know, again, messing with my mind.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Being new to that kind of approach.
Yeah.
The other thing I do want to do is come springtime, March timeframe, they have the ice races out on Big Lake.
Mm-hmm.
And I just want to go. And I've thrown it around, Brandon. I haven't told you this, but I've thrown it around. So I've got that old Jeep that we're going to make into a moose buggy.
Oh, I see where you're going with this. I know exactly where
ball
you're going with
tires.
This.
Throw my helmet. I got that motorcycle helmet up there that I use as an ATV helmet.
Yep.
Throw that Joker on. Let's just, it's got all-wheel drive, you know, and just go out there and slide it around. What's the worst that's going to happen? We're going to bend a fender.
It has fenders?
It does. It's a 92 Cherokee. It still looks stockish. There's some rust holes in it. We'll fix them.
That was more of the point. Like, they haven't rusted off by now.
But I look at ice fishing as an opportunity. Mm-hmm. I think that'll be a lot of fun.
I think there's something crazy about you get out there, you throw the tent up.
Right.
You cut a couple holes, you throw your camp chairs. You're doing what we're doing right here with beer.
We'll do a podcast out there.
Yeah.
While we're sitting there fishing. It'd be hilarious if we actually caught something while we were podcasting.
Yep.
We might even cut that in. Nah, we wouldn't do that.
Yeah.
Yeah. But anyways, no, but it'd be really cool because if we actually did. But I mean, just, you know, hanging out, ice fishing.
It's so much fun.
Doing some plays.
Even I got out there with some guys from a friend of mine who's from California. He's been up here for a couple years. His buddy came up from California. It was the funniest thing I've ever seen. Like, this guy came up to Alaska and bought all the Alaska stuff. Like, he bought boots, like hiking-ish boots, and he had gaiters and like the camo hoodies, and like he
stepped right out of a Cabela's catalog, did he?
Oh, pretty much.
Yeah, and sportsman.
We took him ice fishing, and that was awesome.
Yeah, but so ice fishing, I can see that being a big thing once it freezes up enough. You know, we've got some time for that right now because it's just starting to get cold enough, barely.
Yeah, you're gonna be end of November into December when you're really
getting hot and heavy.
You need to have about 3 inches of ice for it to be safe to walk on.
Right, and you know, I mean, a little, of course, also depends upon sickness, illness, because as we're coughing and hacking already, we're
right.
Here we go again. Yeah, it's getting us all this year, but anyways. Good times. We'll get over this crap, and then we'll...
I know what my problem is.
Oh, beer?
Yep.
Well, as Brandon goes for a beer break here, you know, I do think... What's he going to get out? That's what he's going to get. What's he going to get out of the fridge? Are you going to go for a belching beaver now? That's an amazing sound. Cracking beer. You could just play that as my ringtone at work. It'd be hilarious. The sisters are... Well... Kind of gives away now where I work. I work at one of the local Catholic hospitals. The sisters may not appreciate that.
Truth.
I don't know. It's a holy
Have you ever
line.
Met any of the sisters?
There are actually no more sisters.
Okay.
They've all since passed on.
Yep. Yeah, that's right. I remember seeing that.
Yeah.
But I would argue that
They probably
the last sister was she was pretty awesome. I got to meet her when she came through Prov when I was working there.
Nice.
But, yeah. Anyway.
Yeah. Anyways, we digress. But I want to show. I want to do some work at the range. I really want to work at the range or work my shot.
Yep.
I need to work on some pistol work.
You know, one thing that speaking of range, growing up, I always was taught, and just kind of that in my head, and whether it was actually like what my dad always said, or what I kind of
perceived
was, you shouldn't be shooting anything more than like 150 yards on an animal.
Yeah.
Because you should be able to get close enough to an animal that, like, if you're talking about a moose,
right,
you need to be able to get in.
Right. Yeah, but on the same token, I do believe in, so, I mean, I have a 3-1 mag. You have the odd 6.
That is kind of the, I have two friends now who have, what time are we at? How far are we
great on times. Don't worry about it, because the wife and kids haven't come out and yelled at me yet, so we're doing great on time. We'll wait till they yell at us right on this one.
Also, I had, so now I have a friend who's, both his animals he took this year, which were just magnificent animals, where one was 400 and some yards and the other was 300.
Well, the guy was just at work talking to Jimmy. He was out on a Kodiak goat hunt, and, you know, incredible story he's got about, you know, what he did in 2 days. He did an incredible hunt, but he took it at 400 and change. It was almost 500 yards out. He says he's comfortable at 800 yards on an animal with his weapon.
Yeah.
I don't know that I'll ever be that comfortable, just because I'm like you. I was always taught like 300 max.
Yeah, I kind of feel when you get to that point, the
dude was also a sniper in the Army. I might throw that out there.
Yeah.
But you get, I digress here, a little
here's,
bit.
And here's one of the things that I look at that. Yeah, you can be very good on a
steel
combatant target, right?
Right.
Where if you hit it in the shoulder and blow an arm off and it runs away, you have now eliminated that threat.
Right, a little different when you're hunting and you're trying to clean.
You take an animal and you hit it just enough off because it took us, you know, a step.
Half a step.
And you pop it through the gut and it takes off. Now you have an animal that's 800 yards you have to get to. And in Alaska, that's not a flat, easy walk. That's 800 yards is the bullets traveling. Double that from ups and downs and surrounds and everything.
And miserable.
And it's miserable.
It's going to be, you know, there's going to be a creek involved.
Oh, yeah. Or two.
Or snow.
Or muskeg.
Or something.
Yep.
Something miserable.
But now you have to track that animal, and that thing can go a long way and just disappear.
But I do believe that even though, like even at the bear stand, to know, like if I'm sitting there and I know I have an animal, a bear come in on the bear stand, and I know it's a 55-yard chip shot, I know my rifle is sighted in good enough.
Mm-hmm.
That even if it's off by 3 inches at 100 yards.
Yeah, that's a whole different deal.
Right, but my point is more the point of, if I want to put it right behind the shoulder blade, I want to know that if I miss that animal, it is totally, I mean, even at 3 inches off, if I know that I can have that thing down to no more than beer can accurate, whatever it is that you want to do, to know that it was me.
Yes.
And that's what I want to know. The other thing is, too, is that familiarization with your rifle.
Oh, yeah.
You know, all those kinds of things come into play. And quite frankly, a day at the range is a good day because you're running power.
Those long range. I want to get better at the 300-yard shot.
Right.
That's where I'm looking at, like, okay, I need to extend out because I can do pretty good at 100 to 250 yards.
You're dead nuts. Yeah.
Yeah. I wouldn't say that, but I'm proficient enough that I'm confident taking an animal at yard. Because, you know, I know I've heard many people ask, like, what's the max range you should be shooting an animal? What's the max range you're comfortable at?
Right. Well, and I always argue that you should, if you want to talk about, there's two ways to think about target shooting, you know, and shooting in general.
Mm-hmm.
There's the bullseye approach, which says I'm going to go for the 10 ring, so to speak.
Yep.
And then there's the hunter's approach, which is, which my grandfather kind of went with before he passed. He said, you know, if you hit a pie plate at 200 yards,
mm-hmm.
you're fine.
Can you hit a vital area?
Pie plate is about 200 yards, is about the size of a vital, you know, the vital area.
Mm-hmm.
If you hit it 200 yards, you're probably good. But even he would argue that you should still go back and do the bench rest work, because there is some stuff that goes on with that toughening of your shoulder and knowing your weapon and just running some different reloads through. So I want to get some reloading done this winter.
Mm-hmm.
I'll do that probably on days off when I'm, you know, after work and tired but not like exhausted, and just
sit and watch some TV,
crank some loads out, kind of dial, because, you know, when you get into hand loading, that's a whole ball. My dad's really into it. I mean, I love my dad. That's one thing he just geeks out on.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the different types of bullets, the weight, the powder.
Mm-hmm.
When you're down the primer, I mean, he'll geek out on that.
Oh,
I mean,
yeah.
He even goes to the point where his 45-70, he will cast his own lead bullets.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, so a little different for that guy. He's he's definitely dedicated to that art, and it is an art form to just sit there and work it.
Mm.
But it takes time at the range
yeah.
and doing it.
Yep.
And, you know, I love to be able to just sit there and just crank some rounds down and just really dial in what is my rifle really like. Because I can tell you, though, my 300, and I've had that thing for 20 plus years now and run a pile of rounds through it.
Yeah.
It doesn't, I mean, it does okay with the 150s. I mean, I won't hesitate to, if somebody said, hey, there's a bear, you know, in your backyard and your dog's out there and you need to potentially, you know, take care of it, I will grab the 150s. I would grab the 150s, go moose hunting tomorrow. But it likes the 180. Like, it just shoots more accurately, about 180 grains. Hmm. So I'd like to kind of dial that in for that and then really just get one bullet and hone that thing in.
Just have your hunting load.
Yeah, have my hunting load on that thing, guys. Now that I've gotten to where I'm an adult and I have a few more weapons, you know, we got that 6.5 Gibbs that's new to me.
I'm excited about that.
Yeah, it's total Wildcat cartridge.
Yep.
We could just talk about Wildcat cartridge.
That's a whole nother ball of wax. But
I'd love to just get that thing out there, get it shooting again.
Mm-hmm.
It's a clean looking rifle. It's a VZ24 Mauser action. It looks good. It's just a good polished rifle. I think it'll be a good flat shooting cartridges.
Yep.
I mean, the 6.5 is amazing.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of time.
Yeah, it's been a really like popular round now. Is that 6.5 round?
Yeah. Well, part of it's the AR platform, which is super
you can put
cool.
it in the AR, and our buddy loves that thought of I can go a hunting rifle in an AR. Well, you can, but
right. I still let's argue. Talk about it. Yeah, still argue at least two weapons for him. But
mm-hmm.
but yeah, we need to
some range time coming up. Yep, ice fishing time.
Yep, I want to get a couple of folks out. Just you know, go out and chat with them. My neighbor being one of them, he loves to build ARs. I'd love to pick his brain about the AR platform.
Yeah.
We'd probably do a whole cast just talking to him about the platform.
Yeah.
Because he's built, I don't know how many of them he sells. I mean, he doesn't like sell them, but he has built them for other people. Like they've said, hey, here's my components. So I'll
pay you to put build it together. Build the gun for me. Yep.
Yeah. And I think he has an FFL actually.
Mm.
That or he's getting one. I don't know which it is. But anyways, I digress. But there's that. I want to do some fly tying again. That's a Thursday night football action for me.
Absolutely. Just you know, set your stuff up and
whip out 100 flies.
Yep.
And people go, whip out 100 flies. Yeah. I mean, we went out in the Montana Creek and we both got to the point where our flies were trashed.
Oh, yeah.
At the end of the day, like, you just throw them away.
Yep.
They were so wore out between the hook just not being dull and just that metal from that constant bending of the fish mouths. Like, it was just, they were weak.
They break. Oh, yeah. I broke at least two out there. So... I mean, and they're bouncing off rocks, they're bouncing off of sharp fish mouths and, you know, all the jaws stuff. And everything up there. And, you can definitely tell when you can start feeling them bouncing over or off the mouth that these hooks are
right
about done.
They're shot.
Yeah.
But, you know, I just think about the wintertime, those are the kind of activities that I start thinking about. Like, the weekends I still want to get out and do things, but, you know, when you come home and it's already dark, sitting inside and doing those inside, because I really hate to burn a July afternoon reloading rounds.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, I'll do it if I'm watching the kids because they're sick or whatever.
Have something to do. But spend that time in the wintertime when it's cozy and in by the fire or watching the game. And absolutely.
I'll be doing some homebrewing this winter too just because I love to homebrew.
Yep.
I got to do that. I got the equipment and I'm an all grain guy.
What's the one you want? Like, I want to do that.
I need a good lawnmower beer.
Lawnmower beer.
Yeah. So when I think of a lawnmower beer, usually it's a lager, okay? So it's that light, crisp, refreshing. Like, I can get on my riding lawnmower, little tractor. I have a half an acre, so I kind of need a little bit more than just a push mower. I mean, you could do it. God help you. But just that I can grab that beer and just cruise around on my little tractor. And drink my beer.
Got it.
That's a lawnmower beer.
Huh? Well, fire up the kettle and get it done.
Yeah, there's more that goes into that.
Come on, what are you talking about?
They have whole podcasts literally just dedicated to brewing beer.
I'm aware.
Yeah, and... some of those are pretty amazing.
Yep.
I listen to them on a regular basis. Lager is a unique thing. But I think I do a pretty good ale. So I'm going to do a few ales. And, you know, again, summers are warm up here. You don't realize it. That affects your beer brewing and your yeast, especially. That's what the brewing is the yeast.
Yeah.
And when you're dip netting or when you're out fishing on the river, I mean, my goal one of these years, may not be this next year, but within a couple of years, I want to have my goal of being, I don't buy a single commercial beer all year. Like, it'll be all stuff I brew.
That's a good goal. That's some beer.
That's some beer.
Yeah.
Especially when your buddies come over and drink beer for you.
I have no idea what you're talking about, Dave.
Life group. There goes an 8-pack of beer.
So, What are we thinking next summer? Like, as we're looking forward to...
Well, the big highlights I have to / want to get done. And have to is relative. And when I say have to, it's because it's something that I know I need to do. Like, for example, I look at dip netting as a have to for my family.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So we're planning out next summer where I'm thinking the big ones. Like, dip netting is just, okay, that's... For me, that's not as much as a have to, but it's a camping trip. It's fun. It's exciting. We're just going to go enjoy it. Yeah, we're going to get fish, but it's time with family. It's time with friends.
Right.
Getting fish.
And I know your wife doesn't eat as much fish. I know it's kind of shocking that an Alaskan doesn't really like salmon, but I know your wife doesn't eat as much.
She's also from,
Michigan.
Yeah.
She's a youper, isn't she?
No, she's not a youper.
She's not a youper.
A youper.
That explains a lot.
Yep.
Not that I know the difference, but yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, I've never been there.
She's a Midwest girl.
Yeah.
And fish down there was a little different.
Salmon
here. So.
Right. So it's hard.
Grew up not acquiring that taste. So.
But when I provide for, my wife, my two kids, and then my parents who live in my household, it's a lot of fish. It's a good, easy. So I look at that, I kind of go, I have to get fish. So, I will focus in on getting that. But as far as like things I want to do, like I'd say, dip netting's a mid-July thing. Like, it's a 2-week thing for me, really. Mm-hmm. But I say, I want to get a bear, which we can talk about the 4 different kinds of bears up here in the hunting. And he just gave me that look like 4 different kinds of bears. Oh yeah. That is a thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's a whole hour's worth of discussion too.
Yeah. Well, quickly, do you know the 4 types of bears in Alaska?
In Alaska?
Yes.
Brown,
right? / grizzly.
Yep.
So that's 1.
Yep. Black.
Black, that's 2. Those are the 2 easy ones.
Polar.
That's the 3rd easy one.
Sun. Glacier.
Glacier. You're a very good young man. Good. Yep. Good. Yeah.
I'm like, it's the lighter.
Yeah, the blue hue. I'd love to get a glacier bear one day, but that's not going to happen next summer. I just want to get on a good bear. I'd like to get a blackie. Mm-hmm. I'll take a brown in a heartbeat next year, but I'd love to get a blackie, get one in the freezer.
Yep.
Well, my kids both want bearskin rugs / blankets.
I had a buddy. And his little boy, who's about your son's age at this point in time, about that 6-year-old, we were looking at trying to get a bear. We were doing the same thing. We were, same conversations we have about how we're going to do this, where are we going to get him. His son comes and he's like, I want bearskin underwear. You are the man.
Yep. Well, furkini is a real thing up here in Alaska.
They sell them.
Fur Rondi. That is one thing I will have to do this winter, too. Just think about the winter. I have to do
Fur Rondi. Getting out Fur Rondi. Yep.
Well, just because the daughter, she loves dogs. So
Watching the
sled dog races. And
yeah.
Of course, I have to do my walk by the fur shop and tease my wife about her furkini that she needs to wear.
But that's amazing.
But I want to go bear hunting. Going to do moose next year.
I would think, we're thinking about where and what we're going to do for bear, obviously do a bait stand.
Oh, yeah.
I would really consider trying to find some just early spring bear hunting.
Yeah.
Where you're not necessarily baiting them, but like getting up into the hills a little bit and
just glassing for them.
Glassing, wait, see if we can see something popping out, getting out of its den.
Yeah, I think that would be a lot of fun. I also think moose, I think we should need to talk about doing like a circle trip, go up to the Stees, kind of those any bull area, just get a couple moose.
I do think we need to. Here's another like thrown around that I've always kind of wanted to do. I would love to do an Ivashack River float.
Hmm.
Now that is, so the Ivashack comes off of the the Sag River. I cannot pronounce it right now.
He hasn't had that many beers.
Beavers. So it comes off the Sag River, which parallels the Dalton Highway, going all the way up to Dead Horse. That comes off of that river and goes 15 plus miles back into the Brooks Range.
Middle of absolute nowhere.
Nowhere. And we're talking tundra-y wonderfulness of nothing. And there's a gentleman, there's a guy up there who will airboat you back. And it's X amount per run. You can load all your stuff up on it and get one run back in and pay him the X amount. And you essentially float back to your truck.
Right.
You're going to see herds of hundreds of caribou coming across you. You're going to have brown.
All the things, brown
bears walking through, not as many moose just because you're pretty high elevation above, you're in tundra.
Right, exactly.
So not as many moose. They're up there, but, and then caribou, moose, bear, sheep, and just phenomenal fly fishing.
Right. I think about things that I think we should do. We should plan a good fly fishing trip. Plan that out. I think the other thing we're going to do is I'm going to be working on the boat this winter pretty heavy. My dad wants to get out for some halibut. So we'll take the boat out. I have that kicker now finally, so we'll be safe. It's a big thing up here, safety, having that spare motor.
Yep.
So I think we need to plan some halibut trips.
Mm-hmm.
Try some shrimp in.
Yep.
And maybe this time next year we'll be talking October and going, it's getting crappy out, but it's any deer out on the islands.
10 deer.
5 apiece.
10 deer between the two of us. Yeah.
But you're allowed to proxy them. And I might know two people that are over there.
You can proxy, 65. Yeah. Granted, you're talking about an animal that's what? 60 pounds on the hoof.
Yeah, German Shepherd.
Yeah. On like, stilts. They're not big animals. It's like shooting a dog. But, it's venison's meat.
Venison is phenomenal. Phenomenal.
Yeah, when you throw 10 plus of them on the boat and haul them back, that's nothing to shake a stick at.
Yeah, we'll take Pat out because he might have done this before.
Yep.
Or Dan.
We got a few buddies that can show us what they're doing and how to do it a little better because, Prince William Sound.
It's a bloody big area.
Yeah.
That's the other problem is we always, think about Alaska is trying to narrow that down. Like, okay, so you're going to go hunt. You're going to go fish. Where do I go? Yeah.
Yep.
But anyways, we should think about that. Mold it over. Text messages. We got kids. It's getting late.
Yeah. Get my kid to bed.
You get some kids to bed so they can wake up and not rip our heads off in the morning.
Yep. All right.
All right. Well, till next time.
Till next time.